I invite you now to open your copies of God's Word in Matthew chapter 5. We'll be reading from verses 13 to 16. This is a sermon that I hope will impact your lives in a way that you would be having a mind shift to enter the new year. What shall we think of ourselves? What New Year's resolution will you adopt or do you bring into your lives? I'm hoping that we will begin by looking at what Jesus thinks of us. God's Word, Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16. Jesus is speaking and he begins this way. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, we come before you and we ask that your word will be impactful to us, Spirit, that you would make it alive, transformative to our lives. Jesus, that today, as we prepare ourselves for tomorrow, the beginning of a new year, impress upon us what you think of us. Let me add not to your word, but just repeat what you just say and try to explain it how you would like it, Lord. So I ask that you'd bless my lips, bless the hearts and ears that listen. Spirit, transform us into people that are God's family, God's children, that look more like the Son of God. I guess to look more like you, Jesus. I say this so it end in your greater glory. And in your name I pray. Amen. Salt is the chef's magic powder, you can say. Chefs sprinkle salt on just about everything to make it taste good. On the other side, when mixed with water, it's a nurse's healing solution. Salt is so versatile. It has four main properties that I want you to take note of before we engage our text. Salt, for one, can be used as a preserver to slow down the decomposition of food, to delay the food rotting, festering, to stop food going off, to stop it going bad. Salt is a preserver. And so in times of old, in the Old Testament, salt was also sprinkled on the offerings given before God as a symbol of something that was to be preserved, of a lasting covenant with God. So salt acted as a symbol of covenant faithfulness. In other words, salt said something. It said, I will stop things going bad by remaining faithful to God. We shall be blessed by God if we endure, if we persevere, if we keep going. So salt is a preserver. The second thing salt is salt is also a purifier. It's a cleansing agent, like a sterilizer. Anyone's mum ever made them gargle salty water when they had a sore throat? Were you anything like me that whenever you were young, before you did it, you used to say to your mum, that does nothing, mum. But, you know, later on in life, I had several skin grafts on my fingers. And the nurses, they made me wade my hands in saline solution. You know what saline solution is? Salty water. So salt acts like a purifier. It's a cleansing agent. You know, Jesus said that all his disciples would be salted with fire, using the metaphor of salt as a purifier, fire, the metaphor as like the Holy Spirit, that you disciples shall be cleansed and purified by the Holy Spirit, salted with fire. The third thing that salt, which is mainly used for, is to season food. Tonight, I'm going to cook an asado. That's an Argentinian barbecue for those who are uninitiated. And I do not marinate my food. I have no sauces, no dressing. I don't even add any herbs. I just rub salt all over my meat and then I throw it on the barbie. That's it. And you know why? Because salt brings out the taste in the meat. In fact, salt brings out the best flavor in just about anything you're about to eat. You know, I've also been watching SBS On Demand. One of the best reality TV shows is called Alone. You know, 10 people are thrown into the Alaskan wilderness and they have to survive. And the way that they survive is they got to eat no matter whatever it is that they catch, whether they fish it, they trap it, they hunt it down, and they're only allowed 10 items. And they have to do it alone. And they eat every animal that they catch. You know, it could be bird or fish, a beaver, a moose, a rabbit, a porcupine, even oversized rats. And not only do they eat every animal they hunt, they eat every part of the animal, the kidneys, the liver, the organs, the eyeballs, the brain. They scoop out the brain, and they eat the tongue and the lips. I know they say, and I'm sure you heard it before, I know they say that when you're starving, that you will eat anything. But I don't know if I could stomach eating the lips of a rat. You just don't know what it's been kissing. Would you eat the lips of a rat? So one guy, you know what he brought as one of his 10 items? A block of salt. Salt makes everything taste good. Salt brings flavor. It even enhances the flavor, the taste of what is inedible. So salt has an excellent quality to it. It's a flavor enhancer. But see, you don't have to eat roadkill to appreciate salt. A sprinkle of salt on a juicy steak, there's nothing like it. Salt's quality is that it enhances the flavor we wouldn't otherwise taste. Salt, it's so interesting a concept when you really think deeply about it, because salt doesn't really have a comparable flavor. For instance, salt doesn't taste like steak. Steak tastes like steak. Steak is steak. Salt does not give flavor to steak. Salt increases the flavor of steak. Salt brings out the flavor. So salt enhances the flavor. Salt is what makes the flavors come alive. Without the salt, the steak, it can bring us nutrients. We can't eat steak without salt and live. But the salt enlivens that which makes us live. So salt is a flavor enhancer. See, knowing this about salt, that salt is a preserver, it stops going bad, that salt is a purifier, that it cleanses, it brings holiness to the earth, salt makes things palatable, it's a flavor enhancer. It's humbling that Jesus Christ would say his disciples are salt. He now the word of God. Hear how Jesus, your Lord, your Master, speaks. In Matthew 5:13, quite succinctly, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." You see, I want you to impress upon your own souls that this is what Jesus thinks about his disciples. They are the preservers of the faith. They are used by God to stop the earth's rot, slow down the decay, stop things from going bad by keeping covenant with God, by making God central to living. They are, Jesus says, by being salt, they are the purifiers of the earth, bringing the holiness of God by living for him. They make palatable what the earth believes or thinks or seems to believe is unpalatable, offensive, or unsavory. They, Jesus' disciples, they enhance the flavor of God's good earth by living according to his ways. At another time when Jesus preached the same sermon, he was talking about the same idea about soul to be good for the earth, but he was a little more specific when he spoke about salt. Jesus said it like this: salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or the manure pile. It is thrown away. In that place, when Jesus is speaking about salt, rather than using the word earth, he centralizes more, it's good for the soil. It's supposed to be good for the soil. And that's what salt's fourth property is, you see. The fourth property of salt, it can be used as a fertilizer. Jesus says, by saying to his disciples, you are the salt of the earth, that his disciples are those who will fertilize the earth with themselves, with the word of God within them. His disciples, Jesus has in mind, they shall plant seeds of the gospel, and the earth itself shall sprout the fruit of God in the salvation of people within it. Again, I want to impress upon you that it's so remarkable that Jesus would think of his disciples as salt. His people are what, in other words, Jesus is saying, you guys are what make the earth better. Just by being alive for God is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. Jesus thinks this about the disciples. He's not speaking about all men, though. It's not about all men, but about kingdom people. You see, Jesus has already spoken about who these kingdom people are by describing them. Where we are in the Bible right now is Jesus, he's beginning a teaching moment that extends for, we're not too sure how long, but he's on a mountain sitting down. And because he's on a mountain speaking and preaching, we call it the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus has just addressed the people he's speaking to. He has just said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has said this: blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I hope you can see that we've got in the Bible right now a moment in time that Jesus says, this is about you. You who are the persecuted for righteousness' sake. Jesus is saying, you who are wronged because you bring God's goodness to the world. You who are reviled. All of us, all of you who are abused or insulted because you love Jesus. Because you speak about Jesus. And Jesus says to you in verse 13 of our passage, you are the salt of the earth. You are what enhances the flavor of this earth. You see, this earth is spoiled. It's spoiled by sin. And it sometimes feels unbearable for us, unpalatable. Well, Jesus says you are salt. Jesus is saying that you are the salt that he will use to stop the earth from rot. You are the preservers of the faith, beloved. You are the ones that Jesus uses to purify, to cleanse the earth by the presence of the Holy Spirit in and through your lives. Those who enhance the flavor of God on this God-hating earth. Jesus is addressing those who he will use to fertilize the earth. They are God's people who populate the earth, and they are the ones who make God, the world, a better place. And so allow me to ask you right now, as you're thinking about this, are you a follower of Jesus? A believer in Jesus? Do you trust Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God incarnate, God in the flesh? He's come down to save the world from sins. If you believe that, then you are a disciple of Jesus. And this is what Jesus thinks of you. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus says. You, the creator of the whole universe, looking upon you. Yeah, you, I know you. You are the salt of the earth. Salt of the earth. You know, we tend to say this about anyone we think is just the bee's knees. Anyone we regard as wholesome and down to earth, just a solid, genuine, trustworthy, dependable human being, we say that that person is salt of the earth. They get it from here. This is what Jesus thinks of you. So this new year, beloved, start thinking of your brother and sister in Christ as the salt of the earth. I know it's hard, isn't it? Just depends which brother or sister. Salt of the earth. Yeah. Jesus thought of you as the salt of the earth. What a good God we have that he would think of wretched people like us, salt of the earth. I encourage you this year, just think about your brother and sister that way. Unless you want to think contrary to Jesus, of course. Because Jesus does think of your brother and sister as salt of the earth. I begin that way because I don't think that's always the problem, that why we don't treat each other like the salt of the earth. Because maybe this year, you know what, maybe this year you need to start thinking of yourself as salt of the earth. It's so difficult to think of others as salt of the earth when you don't even think of yourself as salt of the earth. I wonder if you know that Jesus speaks that over you. You are the salt of the earth. Oh, how the earth needs you to live for God and for his son to be seen through you, Providence. Notice how Jesus doesn't say, look how encouraging he is. I can look at this verse and probably preach 10 sermons, but let's start with just one. Notice how Jesus doesn't say, you have salt, or you give people some salt. Jesus says, you are salt. Our very person, our being, our existence, our living, Jesus says, is the salt of the earth. Which means if you are to enhance the flavor of this earth, to make palatable that which is unpalatable, to bring taste to the taste buds of this earth, the disciples of Jesus must do it by their living. It's just by who we are. And see how there is no condition to being the salt of the earth? Not you shall be salt when you become wise, Wally, or wiser, or when you're smarter or older, or skinnier, thank goodness. But you are now salt of the earth. Now, of course, I need to bring all of us back in who are overzealous for the Lord. Jesus doesn't mean move beyond your lane. Or just because you think you're salt, Wally, give the world all yourself 100%, all your max. You know what? Because, you know, sometimes you can put too much salt on things. You add too much salt and it becomes unpalatable. I think for us in this new year, don't overdo it. You are salt of the earth, but you know how you put salt things? You sprinkle salt on. Don't give me all of you. You are salt of the earth. Remember who you are. You are the poor in spirit. You are those who mourn. You are the meek, the merciful, the pure in heart. You are the peacemakers. In fact, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Jesus thinks of you as salt, the flavor enhancer, not the earth. See that? The earth is not salt. You are the salt of the earth. You, beloved, you, yes, you, bring the earth flavor, taste. You enhance the taste of the earth. This means the earth doesn't affect your appetite, your taste. You see what he's trying to say? He's trying to say the earth does not influence you. You are the salt of the earth. You influence the earth. If you are the salt, then you must be different to the earth. Simple that, isn't it? If you lose your influence, Jesus says, your saltiness, that's the comparison there. He's so blunt. What good are you for the earth, says Jesus, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Our Lord Jesus says that you are the influencers, oh goodness, I hate that word, of God on the earth. But if you lose that which is supposed to be the very quality of being a disciple of Jesus, if you lose the very identity that you have in Jesus, if you lose your saltiness, then what good are you, says Jesus. It's a stern warning. He says you are no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and to be trampled under people's feet. I'm going to keep reiterating what Jesus says. He says you are the salt of the earth. But it's the earth that must acquire a taste for what God offers, but sees in you. See, if salt is to lose its taste, Jesus is saying it can't be salty again. You just have to imagine salt that isn't salty. Imagine salt that isn't salty. What are you going to do? It's almost like melting sand in your mouth. What's the point? That's what he's trying to get at. Don't let the world this year, beloved, in the year 2024, convince you that you are the one with poor taste. That the earth needs to add to your flavor, add taste to your life. Don't believe you need the earth to enhance your life, is what Jesus is saying. Don't allow the earth to influence you, but you be the influence on the world, in the earth, by God living through you. Jesus means to say all this is that that's your purpose. That's why he says that you are the salt of the earth. The brokenness of the earth is that it tries to invert the decrees of God. See, what Jesus and God has created, what God has created through Jesus, is that his prized possession, that's you, the Imago Dei, they would be those who subdue and have dominion on the earth, but not the other way around. Jesus is saying, resist that. Don't lose your saltiness. 2024, we should come up with some kind of slogan. Not losing our saltiness this year, 2024. Can you believe that Jesus thinks of you this way? Can you believe it? You, our lives are what enhances life on the earth. But Jesus isn't done there. Look, listen to what else he thinks of you. This is what Jesus thinks of you. Verse 14, it's remarkable. You are also the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. From saying that the disciples, you are salt on the earth, to Jesus now saying you are light, you are the light of the world, is amazing. Amazing what the Lord thinks of his disciples, of you. What does he mean, you are the light of the world? Well, it means quite a lot. But I think you already know what it means. Ever heard someone say to someone else, you light up my world? Ever heard that before? Oh, man, you light up my world. I say it to my wife all the time. She would tell you. The person, they say, you enliven me. You bring life to my life. You make me feel assured, sometimes of my own self, that in your presence I feel like I'm found. That when I'm lost, it's darkness, and when you're here, it's light. You are the light of my world. You remove darkness. You help me find my way. The person shows a path to follow that you wouldn't have found without them. Have you ever had anyone say that to you before? Has anyone said it to you before? Well, Jesus says it to you today. You are the light of the world. Jesus says, you are the light of the world, and that's your person. Jesus is so adamant, and his disciples are light. He also says in verse 14, a city set on a hill, it cannot be hidden. A city on a hill can be seen from very far away. It's another way of saying, if your light that is supposed to be helping people see, if you're supposed to be in the presence and removing the darkness, you're supposed to be like beacons, Jesus is saying, like a lighthouse, like a city set on a hill, he's saying. You cannot hide yourself, in other words. Don't hide yourself. You're the light of the world. Jesus said, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And verse 15, Jesus says, nor do people light a lamp, and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. Do you see what he's trying to say? You are light of the world. You're a city set on a hill that can be seen from far away, that shouldn't be hidden, he's saying. And as light, you can't hide yourself. Providence, do not hide yourself in 2024. You can't do it. You're the light of the world. We're supposed to be a city set on a hill that everyone can see. Church, we can't hide our faith, is what Jesus is saying. How sad today. Because you can hide your faith in so many different ways. You can hide your faith through politics, the ideology of the world of today. You can hide your faith in so many ways. You can dilute it. You can mix it. You mix your faith with the earth, the saltiness goes. You hide yourself, they can't see anything. You see what Jesus is saying? Can you see what he's saying? By saying, don't hide your faith. Don't hide your light. He's saying, my gospel, my work in you is not private. The light inside must shine. The light inside cannot be hidden. In fact, he's saying, to be useful to Jesus, your light must be seen. Do you see, it's also another point here that if it's not private and has to be seen, it's also for the benefit of others. These metaphors that Jesus uses for your life that must be seen by our living God, he also but must be seen by the world, by the earth. It see how it says in verse 16, it culminates in the glory of God. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. See, that's the purpose. The disciples, you, Providence, we should be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, that through our works, that's our light, our works and living for God. By that life, then we, in a public way, bring glory back to God. And that's the purpose of being light. We remove darkness by our living and point people to His glory. Away from your life, away from the work itself, but to glory for God in heaven. Again, can you believe Jesus thinks of his disciples, of you, as the salt of the earth and light of the world? Your light, Jesus says, there in the verse 16, are your works. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I'm not going to dwell too much on this sort of stuff, and I used to quite a lot because I think it's so exciting, but it's more technical, so I'm just going to say, notice how God in Jesus uses us to connect heaven with earth. You are salt of the earth. You are light of the world. Those works, that light, come in glory with heaven. I'm astounded, it's humbling that Jesus would think of you, and I know all of you, and call you salt of the earth. It's astounding that Jesus would call you light of the world. And you know why? Because most of you know that Jesus was sent by God to be the light himself, and now he's calling you the light. A prophet spoke of Jesus sent by God as light like this in John 1:6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. That's Jesus. Just the last chapter, you know what Matthew says? In Matthew 4:16, he says, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. They're talking about Jesus. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light. And now Jesus says, you are the light. What's Jesus doing? Because when Jesus walked on this earth, he actually said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, if you follow Jesus and do not walk in the darkness of this world, of this earth, you have his light that brings life. You see, when Jesus walked the earth, he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. But the drama is that Jesus is no longer in this world. Jesus is now seated on his throne in his kingly reign over the whole universe up there. But he's not physically present here. You know that light, the reason it's so remarkable, naming Jesus as light, is because a long time ago, 750 years ago, a prophet by the name of Isaiah said this about the coming Jesus. He said, I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. You see, it was talking about a man called Jesus, that he would come and he would be the light. And his light would be through his works. He would show people how they can come to God and be reconciled with their Creator for all time. But that person is gone. And when he went, the disciples that were left behind then quoted that same verse about Jesus and used it about themselves. Listen to what one of the apostles says in Acts 13:47. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Do you see what's going on? Our Lord Jesus is the light. He has come as the light to bring many people to salvation. And now that he's gone, he has imposed upon us the same commission. You are now his light. Are you still living influenced by every fashion of the earth? By every whim? Are you living in darkness still? Some of us are still groping directionless. Do you long to be in the light, but can't find your way? Then Jesus is the light, and we are the ones that bring the light of Jesus to their lives, to your life if you need it. Jesus says that he can remove the darkness and light for your path to lead you to life, if you would dare reach out to him, to reach out to the offer of his light. You will no longer walk in darkness. Or what about you who consider yourself a disciple? As we're approaching 2024, you've always wanted to know, what am I going to do? What's my New Year's resolution? How do I live for Christ? Jesus is saying that you are the salt of the earth, that you are God's preserver. You're supposed to be living in a way that inside the very earth, that you are the one that preserves the faith, both in yourself and on the earth, that you are holding covenant faithfulness with God. You bring God as a preserving truth to this earth. You're also a purifier. Through your life and living according to the ways of God, you bring the holiness of God, purifying the earth. As an enhancer of flavor, you are palatable. You know what that means? You are salt of the earth. you don't bring disrepute to God by making him distasteful. You know how you make God distasteful? You hide your faith. You don't talk about him. You have salt, but you don't influence. It's just not salt anymore. You are light, but what you've done is, instead of being a city on a hill, you're a city submerged in with Aquaman. You're a light hidden underneath a basket. No, you've got to show the light. Enhance the flavor of the earth. You are a fertilizer. God is using us to enrich the ground where he shall plant the seed of his gospel and produce salvation for others. You need to think of yourself as salt of the earth because Jesus thinks of you that way. You need to think of yourself as light of the earth because Jesus thinks of you that way. I know some of you would think, hey, Wally, don't overdo it now. You're going to give us all a big head. I don't know, think about it. If you know that Jesus called you the salt of the earth, light of the world, isn't it humbling? Such responsibility that Jesus says, but it's such, he thinks so highly of his disciples. If you believe it, you're not going to have a big head. You're going to be humbled. Because this kind of living is not for you, but it's for the benefit of others. Did you hear what the apostle said in that passage in Acts? For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles. It's a light for other people, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Our salt and light is to bring salvation to people, which is how our works guide them to the glory of the Father who's in heaven. Look what Jesus says in verse 16. How do we do it? Look at it. In the same way, let your light, allow it. He's not telling us what to do or anything like that. He's saying, allow what's already in you to express itself, that glory may come back to the Father. And many of you will say, well, what does it look like? And I have to tell you, Jesus has just taught it in those Beatitudes gone before us. That's what it looks like. Poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, hunger and thirst for righteousness. But you know what it also looks like? It looks like being godly in the world. Go to work, go to study, be showing Christ in your marriage. Show Christ in your friendships. Show Christ in work, show Christ in your fun. Do we have fun anymore? I'm looking at you, you all look grumpy. Come on. Salt. It's delicious. It makes everything tastes so much better, that Jesus would think of you grumpy people like that. He is so good to us. Can you believe that's what Jesus thinks of you? Salt. Light. It's like Jesus says that we have become like him. Wouldn't you say? That he thinks that way of us. I wonder if you saw he actually said that, but because we're so used to the term now and read it so many times, we've missed it. In verse 16, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father. Where? In heaven. Do you see what Jesus thinks of you? He thinks of you as his brother. He thinks of you as having God as your Father. Jesus unites us to himself and permits us to call his Father our Father. You don't reckon that's cool? God Almighty, that's my Father. Live like Jesus, salt and light that brings glory to him in heaven. We have a God who's so kind to us, ordaining us to call him Father. Our Father in heaven is tender and he guides us, he protects us. He sends Jesus, his own Son, to prepare us to meet him. If God is our Father, and we have Jesus as our brother, if we are in the same family, adopted as children of God, then why wouldn't Jesus then think of us as salt of the earth then? If we are of the same kin now of Jesus, then why wouldn't he call us the light of the earth? The reflectors of Jesus Christ. So then if we are in the family of God and sons of God, how then could we lose our saltiness by having the world permeate our lives, beloved? 2024 is not going to be that year or any year after that, because you are salt of the earth. We are the flavor enhancer. God in Jesus working through our lives by the Holy Spirit. We are the light of the world, showing his light. You know what we are? We are a city set on a hill that should not nor cannot be hidden. Let me pray. Jesus, we ask that you would be glorified through our lives. In the same way, let your light shine before others. You said, Jesus, that letting our light that's already in us is difficult, because we are sometimes ashamed. And so sometimes you lose our saltiness. And we sometimes try to hide the light of faith under a basket, in our homes, in our bedrooms, behind ideology. No wonder you say, let it shine. Spirit, allow us, help us, empower us, inspire us to let the light that's in us shine out by our works, so then the watching world may see those good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. To your greater glory, Jesus, I pray. Amen.